he's in his banana hammock. Which, and the only other thing he was wearing was a number.
I was picturing an actual hammock from between two trees. Banana trees.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So we have got some listener mail. We love getting mail from our listeners. If you want to email us, you can email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. And we will read your missive on the air. And we won't mention your name unless you would like us to.
Well, we usually do initials or your first name and last initial.
Or if you have a pseudonym.
Yeah, we could do that. Or say, don't say my name.
Yeah.
And we'll be just like listener X.
Yes, listener X. I like that.
No, but we don't give out anybody's emails. No. We don't give out anybody's
name. And we don't keep them because what are we going to do with them?
Yeah. Okay, so this is from your husband, Greg.
Okay.
Talking about outing people.
Yeah, it's okay, though.
Yeah, because he knows.
He's been on the show.
The subject is, guess now they can return to the barnyard. Moos. Hee hee.
Oh, for the love of.
Oh, Greg.
Barnyard moos.
Instead of barnyard news.
Wow.
Barnyard
All right, so a segment. Barnyard moos will report about moos in the barnyard and moos out of the barnyard.
Yeah, so cows stranded by quake rescued. So in New Zealand, there was an earthquake.
Yeah, it was pretty big.
Yes, and three cows were stranded on an island of grass in a paddock that had been ripped apart following an earthquake in New Zealand Monday, November 14th.
And keep in mind, people, that New Zealand is such a small place that everything is precious.
Yes.
Each cow, each person is important.
Yeah, so there was there were pictures of it. These poor cows are, like, just isolated on top of this with destruction all around them.
Did they even know what's going on? They're just munching.
They're just munching.
I can't imagine. I don't know what a cow panicking looks like. It probably looks very much like a cow just eating grass. Right? Or, like, someone will come. Always do.
The two cows and a calf were rescued after a farmer and some helpers dug a track to them and brought them out. So film crews got video of this.
Because it's New Zealand and nothing happened.
Yeah, because it was a 7.8 magnitude earthquake.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. And the farmer says the cows were part of a group of 14 that survived, though many more are believed lost.
Oh, no.
It's very sad. So
that is sad.
The farmer says that he would have liked to rescue the trio sooner, but it wasn't clear whether they were going to get another quake.
Oh, okay. So they were aftershocks, kind of complicated things.
So after being rescued, the cows desperately needed water. Cows don't like living without water, so that was the first requirement.
Neither does anything.
Yeah. And then he thinks one or two had lost calves in the earthquake, so they were a bit distressed.
Oh, no, yeah. I bet. That must be weird for them because all of a sudden animals know when something is about to happen.
Yeah.
But there's nothing they can do about it. But to be separated from your herd.
Yeah.
And then from your offspring.
Babies, yeah. Oof.
Well, those three guys made it.
Yeah. So the farmer's like, he's glad they're safe now and that there's a fault line that runs right through his farm.
Wow. I don't know much about earthquakes or the people who study them, but like, don't they know kind of where fault lines are? Or was this maybe like a brand new thing?
Yeah, but you take a risk. You take a chance.
True, you do take a chance.
If things are, if it looks attractive enough on the surface, you're like, I'm going to just see what happens. Think about everybody who has beach houses.
Yeah. Well, I'm so weirded out by that because I grew up near the water. And I remember whenever we would have some like small floods or just too much rain, I had a couple of friends who lived on the beach and I was like, you're insane. I like to live on the top of a hill.
Mm-hmm. Right. On top of a hill.
On top of a hill. On bedrock.
On
bedrock. Just like I do right now.
Yeah.
Because I would be freaked out. I wonder if this farmer, though, is like, God damn. You know, like every time. Every time.
I think
through
he was
his
just
land.
Like, no. He was just like, fingers crossed. I got it cheap. And I'm just going to live it. Make my money on my clothes.
And do the best I can.
Doing.
So thank you, Greg, for that barnyard moves, if you will. So I want to follow up with some penis news.
Ah.
This is a segment that I do, member on the move, dick updates, scrotum stories. And this was interesting because it came with a video. It says, bodybuilder angrily shows penis after losing competition. So I was just wondering, how does someone angrily brandish a flaccid penis? How do you do it with
I'm
anger?
Filled with anger, and the first thing I'm going to do is brandish my penis.
Is grab a penis
and show it to everyone.
Show it to everyone.
This will underscore the fact that I'm angry.
You'll see. A professional bodybuilder threw a tantrum, which I watched, This guy, this happened in Greece. The guy is huge, right? He's mm-hmm. a big guy, built up. These bodybuilders, maybe it's a new thing now. This guy was Greek, but he was so tan, he was darker than me.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. It was bizarre. As a black person, it's weird to see that level of tan.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So basically what he did is he's in his banana hammock. Which, and the only other thing he was wearing was a number.
I was picturing an actual hammock from between two trees. Banana trees.
This is a banana hammock. And then he had a button on it that was like number 182 or whatever it is. It's like there's a pin attached to it. So this was in the 100 kilogram competition, which is 220 pounds. Mm-hmm. Big dude. Barefoot, which I always find something precious about that.
Yes.
Barefoot, this huge dude. Dark, tanned, like oiled up, everything. He won the championship, and then he thought he was a shoe-in for the IFBB Diamond Cup, mm-hmm. which is like the next level,
yes.
but he didn't get it. He gets so irate, he storms over to one of the judges, Armando Marquez, slapped the guy so hard, he knocked the guy over.
Oh, my God.
I watched it. It was the weirdest thing, because you know when you, like, if you ever slap someone in the face, either like a play slap or like, you know, for a theatrical thing or whatever. The idea that you could smack someone with an open hand and knock them on the floor is insane.
Yeah.
He didn't stop there. He went Jesus in the temple style, started flipping tables.
Oh, my God.
Flipped tables, was so angry, then brandished the penis in anger. So I'm watching the video. There's all these really huge people around, but nobody wants it to escalate because, look, everyone there is like 250 pounds. It's like The Rock.
Did they get the tranquilizer gun? Boom.
Basically, they kind of surrounded the situation and calmed it down. Mm-hmm. But there was one little guy who really wanted a piece of it. And he kept trying to get into the fray. And they were like, no, dude, no. Like, get out of here.
Stop it. We're trying not to do this.
So this guy has been banned from the sport.
So...
for slapping the official and knocking him on the floor, and also banned for brandishing. So, yeah, he angrily pulled out his penis in front of the president of the International Federation of Bodybuilding and Fitness.
Okay, so he's inappropriate, poor impulse control, and violent.
And violent.
This is what the person is.
Yeah.
It's just,
and it was just so weird that angrily showing someone your... Can you imagine angrily showing a boob? Like, ah!
Yeah, like, yeah. Poor judgment.
Yes. And I think also,
and not
too,
reading a room.
Not reading the room, right? Wrong room. Too soon for bodybuilding. But also just that he was all like hyped up and barefoot and inside and wearing just like a little
thong. Had whatever steroids he's on just coursing through his body.
So bizarre. Anyway, so that's penis news. So the angry penis loses the day.
Wow.
Yeah, so much for that guy. His name is Giannis Magos.
Oh, sir, I hope you get yourself under control.
Yeah. Well, he's done.
Watch the tape and learn your lesson.
He's done with bodybuilding.
Well.
They banned him.
Good.
No one else will be pulling out their dick in an angry way.
Yeah.
All right, what do you have?
I have Tales from Dare Campfire.
Tales from Dare Campfire is a segment where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, ghost stories, fake lore, folklore, urban legends.
Scary stuff.
And we retell them here around the digital campfire. Yes. So with that excellent opening, gather around.
Gather around, listeners.
Well done for me.
It's called Lights Off, Demon.
Lights Off.
Lights Off. All right, the author is from India.
Okay.
I live in a duplex house on a hilly region.
Well
to
done.
Which I have moved 4 years ago.
Okay.
3 months after moving, I began noticing dark figures running from my kitchen.
Excuse me, that got right into it.
Yeah.
Right into new material.
Yeah, toward the front room at night after the lights were turned off.
He's saying it very casual,
yeah.
Or she?
Yes. If I could not hear any footsteps, I could not hear any footsteps, and I ignored it thinking it was just my imagination.
Okay, like, really? You have some imagination.
The next day, the same thing happened, and I was beginning to get scared. And I told my mom about it, and she said it was all in my head.
Okay.
This stopped for 2 nights, and I was peacefully sleeping when I was woken by warm breaths over me.
Ew.
Thank you for that.
Yes, I'm adding the sound effects.
I did not have the courage to open my eyes, and it stopped.
I think, and I always talk about how bold I am, that's a situation in which I might be really terrified to open my eyes.
Yeah.
Like a hot breath.
Yeah. Be like, oh.
What? It could be an animal, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You know?
Slowly opened my eyes, and to my horror, I could see a dark figure with a tail and horns on my ceiling.
Wow.
Yeah.
What lungs?
I know. And I was scared to death, and I could not move or shout. I tried, but in vain, and then the figure disappeared. I went to my parents' room to sleep, and they scolded me that I was a coward.
Okay. What, really?
Because they were probably trying to get down, and they're like, get out of here.
Yeah, trying to get their swerve on. Yeah.
The next night onwards, I slept with the lights on, and after I went to sleep, my mother would come and turn off the lights, and I didn't know.
Okay.
But one night...
Why? I feel like, indulge kids. If kids are afraid of the dark, do whatever it is that makes them feel comfortable. Remember what it was like to be a kid and how terrifying and angry you were if your parents were like, the lights have to be off. It's like, why?
It's like, I can't. And you're telling me the only comfort that I can
Is having that light on. Get him a nightlight or something.
Yeah.
Remember a toy called a glow worm?
Yeah.
I had one of those. You squeeze it and then the head glows a little
bit. That's nice.
And it made me feel like I wasn't going to be killed by Smurfs. Mm. I think that's a plural. Okay.
Well, they're Belgian.
That's right. The Belgian Smurf. Yeah. Smurfs. I made it.
Smurfs. But one night I noticed the light not turned on and I went to turn it on. As I left my bed, I could see the figure with the tail and horns at the edge of my room staring.
Oh, so it was on the ceiling and now it's at the...
Yeah, it's coming down.
It's coming down.
Yeah, and so I ran outside. The next morning, I cried, and I told my mom to do a puja in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And to everyone's surprise, the priest refused to enter the house and said he sensed a presence of something supernatural with negative power and did some rituals and started puja.
Okay.
Ever since, there has not been a case of the figure.
Wow. So is a puja like a saging out?
Yeah, I looked it up.
Okay,
of course
you did. I looked
it up because I was like, what is this exactly? So puja is an act of showing reverence to a god or spirit or another aspect of the divine through invocations, prayer, and songs and ritual.
Mm-hmm.
An essential part of the puja for the Hindu devotee is making a spiritual connection with the divine. Most often that contact is facilitated through an object, an element of nature, a sculpture, a vessel, or a painting, or a print.
Mm-hmm.
During puja, an image or other symbol of the god serves as a means to gain access to the divine.
Okay.
The icon is not the deity itself. Rather, it is believed to be filled with the deity's cosmic energy.
So you're asking this deity to intercede, I guess?
Yeah.
And help you out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It is a focal point for honoring and communicating with the god. For the devout Hindu, the icon's artistic merit is important, but is secondary to the spiritual content.
Okay.
The objects are created as receptacles for the spiritual energy that allow the devotee and to experience direct communication with his or her god.
I'm imagining it's a statue of some kind, though.
Or they're saying a painting or something that is something
that can be imbued with the
energy
positive qualities of the deity.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing the background research on that.
Yeah,
I like that one.
I didn't know about that.
I wonder what it was in that culture. Like, what is that, you know, the thing that was on the ceiling?
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah.
If anyone knows, please let us know.
Yeah.
Any Hindu listeners or anyone who knows anything about Hinduism. Mm-hmm. Because we could try to look it up, but until we know the name of this thing in this culture, we're not going to be able to do much.
Yeah. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Yeah. And let us know. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. I got the ball.
So I have a reality TV roundup. This is something that's new that's coming up on Bravo. It's premiering in January. It's called Summer House.
Oh, God.
It's a reality show set in Montauk. Bravo's Summer House is proposed unscripted. I don't think they call it unscripted. They don't want to say reality TV anymore. It's like used cars, pre-owned.
Right.
It's an unscripted project that put half of Montauk into a funk last summer. Then apparently the people of Montauk are so highfalutin that they don't want a TV show filmed in the area.
Don't even need this
garbage. Get over yourself. People can film whatever they want, wherever they want.
Yeah.
There's no fancy neighborhood.
Yeah, you're not classy.
You're not classy.
You think you are, but
you think you are. The network announced a show about quote unquote young professionals who share a house and let loose in a big way. That doesn't even sound that big. Summer House will feature 9 friends who work hard making their money and building their resumes during the week and who have summered in Montauk before, who've used it as a verb. But this year is special.
Why?
Yes. They finally put together the perfect group to share a rental for an epic summer filled with drama, boozy brunches, beachfront thrills, rosé parties. That's the only thing I'm okay with.
Mm-hmm.
Charity galas, bonfires, and jaw-dropping or locking hookups.
Jaw-dropping.
Like, you know.
It sounds like the B.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Jaw-locking. That's what I said. So apparently, when people found out they were filming it in June, this is in June of 2016, they were so upset that some of the residents said they would boycott the production. Nobody asked you to join the production.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean you're going to boycott? How? How are you going to boycott it? By not
by standing around watching because it's a show and that's what they want?
Yeah. Oh, by giving them something to put in this really thin article? So,
but I have something to say about they assembled the proper group. Would they each have a superpower?
Oh, I'm going
to
get into that.
The Hall of Heroes?
Oh, you're going to find out about it.
What was it with the Super Friends? And they lived it. They had the Hall of whatever.
Wonder dipshits. No, to activate.
Yeah,
right. One unnamed resident told the gossip column, "Every time you see these idiots filming, air horn their shot. You can't edit air horns out every 5 minutes. Why? What do you care if people are doing on their private property?
Yeah.
What a bunch of dicks. This is why I never go out to places like that, because the people are ridiculous. So here's the team they've assembled. Kyle Cook, life of the party, who must decide whether it's time to grow up or remain the quintessential bachelor. Ashley and Lauren Wierkus, fun-loving identical twins. I said dipshit twins deactivate. Okay. Who have reached a crossroads in life.
What I guess crossroads?
25.
Okay.
Group newcomer Carl Radke, a flirtatious ex-model who has caught Lauren's eye. Longtime friends Everett Weston, an ex-Army Iraq war veteran. One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, right. Put an Army war veteran in with these overprivileged, self-indulgent.
Yeah. And Lindsay Hubbard, the ultimate alpha female.
What?
Who throw everyone for a loop with their newfound love. Christina Gibson, Lindsay's roommate.
What's it, her newfound love that throws everyone for a loop?
He's a Mexican.
Oh. right.
Lindsay's roommate, a freelance reporter who grapples with her friends. Stephen McGee, the wild card of the bunch.
Stephen McGee. Okay.
Who isn't afraid to speak his mind.
Okay.
And Jacqueline Schumann, the one Jewish person. A flirty, newly single, girl next door type probably with dark hair, who's looking to be distracted from a broken heart in Summer House.
Oh, well, I hope she hooks up with the Iraq war veteran.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
They should get
together.
What's
the Iraq war veteran? I mean, that's how they describe. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's like the way that they describe these people is so interesting. Like that's supposed to be the defining thing about this guy is that he's a veteran.
Yeah.
A lot of people are veterans.
Yeah.
Is that it for this guy? I don't know. And then Jacqueline Schumann. So that's...
I'm Jacqueline Schumann.
Here I am, Jacqueline Schumann at Montauk Summer House.
Yeah.
Filmed by Bravo. Yeah. You'll hear air horns in the background from angry residents who don't like the fact that there's filming going on.
Yeah.
So Summer House looks terrible.
It looks awful.
I'm so glad that we made it through most of our adolescence without reality TV shows showing us what life should be like. I guess.
When it's unscripted, but scripted.
Yes, when it's unscripted, but edited.
Yeah.
Heavily.
Well, I think the people in Montauk should turn their attention to the waters.
Okay. What's the waters?
The waters of the ocean.
Oh, okay.
The waters.
I'm like, who are they? I haven't met the waters. The Montauk waters?
Yes. Because I have some barnyard news, but it has nothing to do with the barnyard.
Is it moose? Or
no.
Or news?
This is news.
News, all right.
This is news of the aquatic nature.
Oh, I like it. The life aquatic.
Yeah. They say two-headed sharks may be on the rise, but no one knows why.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
One of my favorite crappy shark movies is Two-Headed Shark.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe it's to eat all the people
from Montauk. House, yeah.
From Montauk.
Two for the price of one.
Let's see. Scientists recently discovered the first two-headed shark embryo from an egg-laying species.
Okay. Was just the embryo they had?
An increasing number of two-headed sharks have been found in the world's oceans in recent years, but scientists can't agree why.
I mean, really?
Yeah, they discovered an egg-laying shark embryo with two heads in a lab in Spain.
Okay.
And previously, the only two-headed sharks were from species that give birth to live babies.
Okay.
Anecdotal evidence suggests the number of two-headed sharks has been increasing since 2008, when a fisherman discovered a two-headed blue shark embryo in the Indian Ocean.
Wait, how many are there? They don't say. Because if there was just one last year and there's two this year, that's, you know.
That's
100%. It's doubled in size, the population.
And then in 2011, scientists discovered conjoined twins in blue sharks caught in the Gulf of California.
Okay. It could it be this pollution?
Yeah.
That we're treating them to? No.
And then in 2013, fishermen off the coast of Florida caught a female bull shark that was pregnant with two-headed fetus.
Wow.
So a lot of these, they're all popping up now.
Okay.
It's happening.
Like a Michael Crichton novel. It's slow.
He thinks the shark's, the theories, the shark gene pool is shrinking, raising the rate of birth defects.
Okay.
So it just looks that way.
Maybe you'll be looking at the Jersey Shark Devil pretty soon.
I know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So this is, they're mating close.
You know, it's just, they're seeing them more.
Okay.
It doesn't mean
I think
it'll
be they're seeing them more. There could always be that many.
They're just looking. But two-headed sharks.
Wow.
The thing, and people are now noticing.
Well, the embryo is a thing, but have they found any that are like out there thriving? Like, hey, ladies. Two-headed
right.
shark.
Right.
I have another shark thing. I love shark movies. I love shark, anything about sharks. But what always annoys me in the shark movie is that the jackass people in the movie, they always have to go in the water.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was like, is there ever a circumstance where somebody would just be like, no? So I found one. This is from the Daily Mail Australia. In New South Wales, is a fisherman recounted a frightening story about meeting a three. So he's in a boat that's 4.5 meters long, like a dinghy, basically.
Okay.
And he's out there fishing. He's been doing this his whole life, never had a problem. So his boat's 4.5 meters. A shark 3 meters long comes up.
Whoa.
And starts circling the boat.
Nice.
Just checking him out.
Look.
Yeah. Like,
it's you and me.
Yeah, it's you and me. Circled the guy and then left.
Mm.
Right? I think he's coming back later. But the guy booked it in and he said, you know, he regularly used that waterway when he was younger to water surf and ski, but he wouldn't dare go in there again for fear of being attacked. He said, I'll never get bitten because I'm not going in ever again. Yes! This guy is my hero.
This is
the way to do it. This is not the first great white shark sighted in this area. So they're coming more and more because, you know, as the waters are warming up and they're looking for food. And also as areas are not being fished as heavily and the fish populations are coming back, the sharks are coming back because the food is back. And they make no distinction between an area that we're using recreationally and an area that they can hunt in, mm-hmm. basically. So it keeps happening at this place called Lake Macquarie. Between Wangi and Pulba Island. I don't know where that is. They had a 55-second video of what they described as a bloody big shark. Mm-hmm. Translation, a big-ass shark for those of us in this part of the world. That it came out of the waterway. And a lot of people watched it come and feed on fish.
Okay.
They also sighted a great white shark leaping out of the water.
Nice.
In the same area. Like, hey, ladies.
Get a load of me.
Check out these fins.
Yeah. And they're not supposed to leap.
I've seen multiple videos of sharks leaping. I don't know why they do it. I don't know if it's for joy.
Or like,
or
I'm
showing
a shark.
Off.
I'm
yeah, they're showing
shark.
Off. Yeah. Or they see whales doing it. They're like, F it. Why not me?
Yeah.
Why not me? I can do this.
It's on my bucket list. I'm going to leap out of this water.
They're like, don't do it. Don't do it.
I got to live my life.
So there are increasing number of sharks being seen around Lake Macquarie. But this is the only guy who's actually said, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm checking out. I'm over. I'm not going to be attacked by a shark because I'm not going to get in the water. And that's how you don't get attacked by sharks.
Yes.
It's scary to be in a... I've been canoeing. That's as small as a boat I've ever been in. I can't imagine being in a canoe and seeing an animal pull up alongside of it that's like almost as big as a canoe.
Yeah, that would be...
And then once you start getting circled, what do you do?
Yeah. Just like...
Pee? I just pee.
Because you can't start... You know the lesson from Jaws. So you don't splash.
Don't splash.
You can't get
that's what
there.
The guy did. He just waited. Then
that's
it went away.
Do. Just lay down.
Yeah. I did say I would probably pee myself, and I stand by that. All right, what do you have?
Beef. Famous beefs.
Beef. So this is a new segment that we've just started where we look at people that had some controversy with each other.
Yes.
Want to get into it.
Yeah. So Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So sorry, Ali and Noah fans. It's not all well in real life when it comes to The Notebook, Resident Lovebirds. So everybody loves the movie. Not everybody, but people love The Notebook. It's
that,
a beautiful romantic story.
That movie, years ago when Greg and I used to take the bus down to Philadelphia or down to Maryland, they are always showing that shit.
Yeah.
I have seen it so many times without the sound on. I can't even tell you.
You can do the dialogue, I bet.
It's awful. It looks sappy, in any case.
Yes.
Nicholas Sparks.
Yeah. It was only recently that the onset drama surfaced, though.
Because the movie's old, though.
The film's director told VH1 that Gosling...
Right?
Yeah, that Gosling was so fed up with McAdams that he asked the director to kick her off set and replace her.
Wow.
They took it to
with Michelle Williams.
Right? Yeah. They took it to a... That's a really good discount celebrity.
Yeah.
They took it to a private room and had it out with each other and forged on. The rest of the film... Yes, the rest of the film wasn't smooth sailing, but it was smoother sailing.
I forgot what was their problem.
It doesn't tell us what the beef was. And then at that time...
Maybe he tried to slip a tongue in or something. Or maybe she did. Who knows?
But I think she was bigger at the time than he was.
Yeah, he was like nobody. He was the babe in that movie, kind of.
Yeah, and... But how could he tell the director, get rid of her? Because she was the star.
She must have been doing something that was highly inappropriate.
Yeah.
Maybe she tried to fluff him. Who knows?
Oh.
Who knows? There was a lot of, like, manhandling in that movie, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of making out.
There was a lot of making out.
Stuff, yeah.
What was the gist of that movie? It was like, at the end, there's a woman who has Alzheimer's. Yes. And the guy's reading their story of their life together.
Right.
And the story was that she was with some other dude?
No, the story was that that she was supposed to marry some wealthy guy, mm-hmm. fell in love with the poor guy.
Okay.
But they were really, truly in love. And then, they couldn't be with each other, then they were together. And she was supposed, she wrote him letters and was supposed to, and was trying to, every day,
In his notebook.
Sent him whatever it was.
Okay.
And then her mother took them and never sent them. So he never got the letters. So he didn't know that she cared for her.
I think there is, I don't believe in hell, but there should be a special place in hell for people who do things like that.
Yeah, so the mother kept them apart, and they lost all this time together, and then they got together.
And then she got Alzheimer's.
She got Alzheimer's. And she lived in a home, but he went every day to be with her.
Okay.
And every day he'd read to her. And every so often, she would have moments of clarity where she remembered who he was.
Oh, and those were the moments that we saw on film.
Right. And then, really only for 30 seconds, a minute at a time. So she'd remember, oh my God, this is us and this is you.
Mm-hmm.
And, they'd have this moment and then she would, slip right back into the Alzheimer's
again. Movies like that always make me glad that I come from a culture where there's not an expectation of that kind mm-hmm. of, like, you have to do a certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't imagine what that would have been like.
Yeah.
It looked like she wasn't really into the rich guy.
No.
The rich guy seemed okay, though.
Yeah, it was okay. It was all right.
And he was just with someone who didn't care about him.
Yeah.
For his, like, then that's the movie, The Notebook.
Yeah.
Huh. I hate that kind of sappy shit. Okay. Maybe one day I'll watch it with the sound.
With the sound on.
You might think differently. So I found something that was really cool here. They're doing construction in Los Angeles to add onto their subway, which is actually kind of puny. So this is a good thing. But they found, when they were digging, some ancient elephant bones.
Oh.
And so they had to stop. So the La Brea tar pits, I don't know if you went to those.
I didn't go to those, no.
They're just open tar pits. It's bizarre. Like, I thought it was going to be a lot more parpits. It's like in the middle of L.A.
Okay.
It's bizarre. It's the middle of L.A. is just a bubbling tar pits that have been there forever.
Okay.
And they have found in those tar pits some mammoth and mastodon bones. And they have a very sad monument there. It's like two mastodons or mammoths, I'm not sure which they are, stuck in the tar.
Oh,
it's like, come on.
Why did they do that?
So it says, 10,000 years ago, where Los Angeles now stands was blanketed with tar pits, in which it snagged all sorts of unsuspecting creatures, entombing them in the gooey depths. So it didn't come as a surprise when they were building the Wilshire La Brea station, because it's the La Brea tar pits, that they found this ancient elephant. The cool thing is, they had already built that into the budget. So instead of what you would think they would do, because I think in New York they try to be like, "Nah, I didn't say anything, just keep working."
Right. Like, whatever that was.
They don't pay me. Yeah, they don't pay me enough. I'm not a paleontologist.
Yeah.
So after they found them, they went digging further and they found a partial skull with tusks in another location. So they stopped the work immediately so that the fossils could be removed. Preliminary analysis shows that it was a creature that's 10,000 years old. Where the remains are 10,000 years old, at least from the last ice age. And they didn't know if it's a mastodon or a young mammoth.
Mm.
So I didn't know the difference. Apparently, you could tell from and the analysis of the skull and the teeth, if it was a mastodon or not. Mammoths were larger than mastodon. In my mind, the mastodon was a big thing. Isn't there a band called Mastodon? I feel like there is.
No, there's band Mammoth.
So mammoths were larger than mastodons. They had tall, rigid
mammoth,
teeth.
Because they're mammoth. They're bigger than mastodons.
Yeah, but my mastodon is already, it's pretty big.
Yeah, they are big. Know? I agree with
but
you.
But not big enough.
But not big enough for the...
Yeah. So, whatever. The mammoths have rich teeth, and they could eat tough plains grasses. Mastodons, on the other hand, were in the forest. They just snacked on fruits and leaves. I like the idea of them snacking.
Snacking. Just in between meals.
But both species went extinct around the same time.
Okay.
So, hopefully, as they continue to work on this Red Line metro expansion, maybe they'll find some more cool stuff.
I hope so.
I like that. And then the tar pits were very interesting. They've been there for... Like, they predate us, you know?
And they just built L.A. around them. They said, we're just going to leave these here, tar pits.
I don't know much about them, but I'm assuming it's not the kind of thing you want to build on top of.
Yeah, I mean, like, I imagine. Of course. But it's just like, you know, there's a tar pit, and we're just going to be 10 feet away. We're going to
just go around
go
it.
Go around it.
Yeah, there's a little sidewalk that goes around it. You can walk by it. It was weird. It's
can you
not
fall
even.
In? Is there a railing?
You could fall in if you wanted to. It would be the last thing you ever did. This is hot, bubbling tar.
Well, yeah, well, you know? Of course.
Hot, bubbling tar.
But you can get really close.
You can get really close to it.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a four-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
Okay. This is advice on advice.
Ooh, advice on advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon it by giving our advice, hence...
Advice on advice. Okay. My neighbors who live down the street let their kids run wild. I know it's summer, but I have seen them out playing in the nearby woods at 10 p.m.
Okay.
The road that runs by the woods is twisty and not well lit. We had 2 hit and runs in the last year. These kids have been caught trespassing in other neighbors' backyards, letting dogs out, swimming, and using trampolines.
Oh, they sound like some badass kids.
Yeah. Apparently, their parents don't care. The only one I've ever seen around is their bored teenager who sunbathes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I've never spoken to these neighbors, but I'm worried. Should I call Child Protection Services?
No.
Or am I overreacting?
Talk to the parents. What is this thing that people immediately go to the authorities with everything?
Yeah.
It's possible, because I grew up a free-range kid, and you did too.
Mm-hmm.
No one knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
That was the whole point. We ran around, and we tried to get away with doing stuff.
Yeah, you found something, and just said, what do we do now?
And then we got in trouble when somebody called our parents and was like, your kid's doing this shit.
Yeah, kid's on my trampoline. I don't want him on my
I don't want him on my trampoline. It's like, okay, thanks. When the kid gets home, we'll smack them.
Yeah.
Right? There you go.
Yeah.
If you call to people, when you call Child Protection Services, it takes it to a whole other level.
That's it.
That's when someone's beating the shit out of their kids,
abusing
their kids in some way. The kids are malnourished or neglected. Not because they're running around. All right, that's weird.
Okay, so the advice is, I'm not quite sure why you would call Child Protection Services.
Neither are we.
Yeah. I've heard some kids are using trampolines unsupervised. It's hardly an emergency worthy of state intervention.
Yes.
One considers calling Child Protective Services when children are in imminent danger, just like you're saying.
Yeah.
And what you've described here, it doesn't qualify by a long shot. Kids playing out in the woods in the height of summer, even at night, is hardly something to worry
about. That's right. Kids playing in the woods outside.
Yeah. Yeah, CPS is not a toy, and you should not call them every time you disagree with someone's parenting techniques.
Yeah.
Since these kids aren't breaking into your yard, let another neighbor worry about their own properties.
Yeah. Maybe they don't care.
If you're concerned about your neighbor's kids are playing too near a road, then all by all means, knock on the door, introduce yourself.
Yes.
And offer a kindly warning about last year's hit and runs, hopefully without implying the kids are playing Russian roulette.
Yeah, but then also you might consider having that area be lit,
mm-hmm.
putting a sign there. Like, maybe it's a danger not just to kids, but to everybody. Anybody.
There's hit and runs.
Yeah. So weird. What happened to our culture?
Yeah.
And these are neighbors.
Yeah, the chain of escalation isn't never speak to your neighbors, then immediately call the cops if you hear your kids are swimming in other people's pools.
And that goes everything. Yeah. It's like for noise, for any kind of any disturbances. Kind of,
yes. Look at the escalation. Yes, go.
A friend of mine was telling me they want to teach their kids how to go to the bodega.
Mm-hmm.
That's a block or two away. Right. Because that's an important thing to do when you're a kid. You need to understand how to have your $2 or $3.
Yeah.
You need to know the guys at the bodega because they are members of the community, mm-hmm. just like the policemen and the, you know, all the other people in the community. Mm-hmm. But they said they were nervous about it because they were afraid somebody would call Child Protective Services
on
them.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if they're watching their kids from a far away. Because, you know, when you're a kid, your parents would be like, okay, I'll stand here. And you I want to see you go cross the street.
Yeah.
You know, go on your own, go to the bodega or wherever you're going and do the stuff. When we were kids, it was like, go buy cigarettes. But
that's
a whole other thing. But it was just so weird to me that people would call Child Protective Services on children in their neighborhood, especially in my neighborhood, which is like so safe. To, like, doing something like that. They have to learn how to do that
shit. They have to learn. But it's like, how old are they to do that? Like,
it's up to the parents.
Yeah.
It's up to the parents to decide if they think the child is ready for that.
Yeah.
Weird. We used to walk up and down the road all the time. I was saying that we used to leave church early with our money we were supposed to, like, give of the collection and go get hamburgers.
Good for you.
And be back before the, what is it called? The benediction?
I was going to say benediction, and I'm not sure.
No, it is for the benediction, because we had to be back before that, and then we just file out with everybody else, like, praise, whatever.
A full belly.
Yeah. And some Kit Kats.
Yeah.
All right, so I found something interesting here. This is like kind of barnyard moves, if you will.
Barnyard moves. News of our animal friends.
So this is about CBs or
CBs.
Suspected CBs. That's S-E-A-B-E-S.
So the bee, the buzzing bees of the sea, of the ocean.
Like the chicken of the sea. These are the bee of the sea. So scientists have always wondered how aquatic plants reproduce. I would guess similar to what we have, you know, on land.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of theories, but they weren't sure how aquatic plants get pollinated.
Okay.
So basically they found that there's some tiny little marine invertebrates that act like bees. So they, just like on land, when they are attracted to the nectar or whatever the version of that is that's in the water, because it's hard to think about that. It's hard to think about nectar
in, underwater.
Yeah. But
underwater nectar is the name of my next
underwater
band.
Nectar. Basically, these tiny marine invertebrates, they swarm the seagrass beds just like bees, and they're attracted to the nectar that comes from the aquatic plants.
Underwater nectar.
Sorry. You get the whole band name. And they go to the male flowers, and they hang around in there, and the pollen, or whatever the underwater pollen version is that your opening band?
Yeah.
Underwater pollen is, it attaches to these little marine vertebrates. It's like a thick mucus.
Yeah.
It sticks to them.
Same.
And then they go to the female plants.
Sexy.
They go to the female plants, and that's how they get fertilized.
All right.
It's a new form of pollination. They're calling it zoobenthophilus pollination. It's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
It's weird to me that they didn't come up with this earlier because I, you know, I'm very basic when it comes to my scientific knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I think, okay, if this works over here and this looks kind of similar, this will probably work over here.
Yeah. It's not complicated.
No, it's not that complicated. So yeah, I'm calling them CBs. They're calling them tiny marine invertebrates.
Okay. But I like CBs.
CBs is better.
Yeah.
I think it works.
CBs are cute. You want to raise CBs.
Yes. Now I'm wondering, are they also under duress, just like bees on land? Are people giving them a hard time?
I want a rendering, like a cartoony kind of thing, and have a t-shirt CBs.
Well, like a bee with scuba equipment on?
Yeah.
With a thumbs up?
Yeah.
I don't know. I like it. So,
Doing it underwater.
CBs do it underwater. That's how it happens. All right, what do you have?
Oh, okay. Well, I have 4 ways to be a more authentic person.
Nice. I'm a fake-ass person, so I could use help with this.
Well, have you ever met somebody who's become a totally different person depending on their surroundings?
Yes.
You know, people who change
all the time. Those chameleons.
But, like, radically. I know sometimes we curb our behavior, like, if you're in a nice restaurant or you're mm-hmm. in a class.
Well, we don't, but we've heard about people who do it. We carry on.
Perhaps they become condescending in the conference room, sarcastic and judgmental with one group of friends, and insecure and approval-seeking with their significant other.
Okay.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, I don't really have a lot of friends who are this way.
Yeah, you're having a normal conversation with them, and then they suddenly shift their body posture, tone of voice, and vocabulary the moment someone else enters the conversation.
That's creepy.
Like, someone comes in, they're like, I gotta do this
yeah,
thing now.
I'm not doing Katie anymore. I'm doing K-Tay.
I'm K-Tay. So, we've all had moments of inauthenticity.
Also, fake-ass moments.
Yes, yes. Or being uncomfortable and not knowing what to do in unfamiliar situations, you know, like, you're worried if your real self isn't good enough or appropriate for the situation at hand.
Oh, it's all I have. It's all I have, unfortunately. And I think I'm the worst because I become more myself when I don't know what to do.
Oh, okay. So some people will turn into the person they think everyone wants to see.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, should I act this way? While adapting to your environment is certainly beneficial in some situations.
Wine helps.
Yes. Shifting your personality completely is problematic.
Yeah, because what if that person sees you later?
Yeah.
And you're not acting like Kate.
Yeah.
You're just being regular old Katie.
Yeah. They're like, sorely disappointed. Yeah. Yes. People can tell if you aren't being authentic, and it's a turnoff. Cheesy, phony, fake, insecure, pretentious, disingenuous, in just a few words.
Excuse me.
So somebody's got an axe to grind, I think, in yes. this article. Something
that got
happened.
Personal.
Yeah, it really did.
Can I hear that list again? It starts with cheesy?
Cheesy, phony, fake, insecure, pretentious, disingenuous.
No, that's all corny.
Yeah.
And fake ass.
Yeah.
Faux.
Authenticity, on the other hand, makes us feel comfortable, safe, and respected if we want to be around and associated with authentic people.
Mm-hmm.
Here are four techniques.
Real people.
To be your most
authentic self. Okay. I'm ready.
Number one, be keenly self-aware.
No,
that's
my God.
A lot of work.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. I have a hard enough time paying attention to other people. I don't care about me.
Yeah. As with many paths to self-improvement, you must start with observing yourself.
Like,
as you meet new
like
people.
Yoda now. The right. path. What is it, the path to self-observance?
As you meet new people, engage in work meetings, and spend time with different social groups, try to observe how you feel in each situation.
Observe not. Authentic be.
When do you feel most comfortable? When do you feel like squirming in someone else's skin?
Huh? Ew.
Oh, feel like you're squirming. Yeah. When do you actually do this?
I'm like, I beg your pardon, ma'am.
Oh.
How dare you?
So when you're self-aware and you realize what makes you uncomfortable or comfortable, that's mm-hmm. being self-aware.
Okay. Yeah, that leads me to not go to a lot of places, like Montauk.
Yeah. Find genuine connections. Because we are humans, we have something in common. Try to truly understand the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. What am I trying to do in this situation?
What if they're being disingenuous? And
yeah.
you're trying to understand it, and you're like, that's them, and it's not.
It's not. They're not authentic. You, sir, are inauthentic.
Yeah. Ask thoughtful questions and listen intently. By developing a genuine understanding of and connection to the people you're with, you're most likely to feel genuine and authentic yourself.
You're listening for them to slip up is what you're listening for.
Another tip is don't be perfect.
Oh, phew.
Yeah, it's impossible to be perfect.
Don't be perfect.
Therefore, if you try to be perfect or act perfectly, you're already being disingenuous.
I find that as I've gotten, like, when I was younger, I used to always, when I left an event or situation, I would try to replay in my mind, like, what I was like. Now I don't give a fuck. It's over.
Yeah.
It's like improv. It's done.
It's done.
It
yeah,
happened.
You can't rewrite it after it happened.
Who cares? They forgot about you anyway.
Yeah. Embrace your imperfection and dare to be a bit vulnerable.
Show your gap tooth.
That's right. Show the gap tooth. Show it all.
Show it all.
The next one is be present. It's easy in the middle of a conversation with someone while they're talking, your mind wanders.
Mm. Yeah, okay. It sure does.
Did you say something?
Yeah. That's why you always have to have like a, yeah.
Your mind wanders, creating a perfect response, the score of the current game, the things on your to-do list.
What does someone say? Oh, enough about me. How are you doing? All right, I gotta get sugar. Butter.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. What?
What? Oh, now back to me. All right. Well, I'm
here.
Of course. So you engage when you share your perfect rebuttal. It's like you engage when you're ready to. But the thing is, don't do that.
Okay.
When
Cut
other
that.
People are talking, you should listen to them, because people intuitively can sense of another person's focus and presence. So that's a lot, too. It'd be an active listener.
It is exhausting. Even when I'm interested, it's hard. Yeah. Sometimes. You just get tired.
You say it goes on too long.
Yeah. You start making the wrap it up motion.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
Authentic. I mean, I feel pretty authentic. How about you?
I do too most of the time. But sometimes we get in situations where we have to like keep up a...
It's too hard for me. It reminds me of Maria Bamford. There's an episode of her show, and she deals with many mental health issues among many things. But the idea of having this fake personality, yeah. She's doing it at a party, and then she's like, I have to leave this party. I'm too tired.
Yes.
I can't do it anymore. Yeah. That's how I feel when I have to act in a way that's inauthentic. I can't keep it up for very long.
Yeah.
Like, it slips, you know, and then the real me comes out. It's like, ah, da, 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 you know.
This is what happens on job interviews, and then when you get the job.
Yeah.
Because you can't keep up what you're doing in an interview for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Or as a dear friend of mine would say, she shows up with a blowout for the interview, but afro for the job.
Yeah.
All right, we're good.
Okay.